Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and thank God that we're here just another time. What a blessing it is to be able to look into the perfect law of liberty and proclaim the word of the Lord, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the good news of His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, His appearing to come back and get the church, and His second coming when He comes back to the Mount of Olives as they saw Him go up. When they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing?" This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, is going to come in like manner. So thank God for the truth of the gospel. That is the born again experience. And as we always try to let you know, that the church was born on the 50th day after the Passover, which is known as the day of Pentecost. And you can read about that in the first and the second chapter of Acts, and knowing that the Acts of the Apostles, which is the Acts of the Holy Ghost, was written by St. Luke or Dr. Luke. He wrote the Acts of the Apostles and also the book of St. Luke, which is a continuation when Jesus told the disciples to go back to the city of Jerusalem in the 24th chapter of Luke and wait until they be endued with power from on high. So we know that the important thing about the message in the Acts, the first chapter, when they wanted to know a very important question that they asked Jesus, and that was, before He ascended, they said, "Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" He let them know, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons with the Father, which the Father has put in His own power." But the eighth verse, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And after He said that, He stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight. And so that's when He went into heaven. And He's gone, amen, there. And He will be there until He comes back, makes His appearing to get the church out of here. And so thank God that we're able to use the medium of this medium of electronic media. People are bouncing things off of satellites. Thank God for Blog Talk Radio. It's a blessing to be able to use this tool to be able to reach souls. So I'd like to give a shout out, as we say, to all the Blog Talk listeners, all my Blog Talk friends, also all my Facebook listeners and Facebook friends, and also the Twitter friends, the new friends, and also all of the Twitter listeners. So if you're new listening to this type of venue, this venue that we endeavor to bring to you every Wednesday from 6 p.m. Eastern for an hour, 6P to 7P. It's called One Word, Truth. And that's what we endeavor to do, is to tell you the truth. And so if you desire to call in, our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So you're welcome to call into the broadcast. We welcome your comments or your questions. Your input is valuable. Thank God for you. So we are thanking God that we're able to continue as we have been in the book of 2 Corinthians. Like we try to let you know that it's a continuation of 1 Corinthians, which is the church that the Apostle Paul started himself down at Corinth. So much that he said to the saints of God. Incidentally, when you read the Bible, you don't have to die, and some folks to declare you to be a saint and make you what they call to say that you're eligible for sainthood, which that's foolishness. When you read the gospel, when you read the these letters, which is the children's bread to the church, beginning after the book of Acts, the book of Romans, and the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, which we're in now, that is the children's meat. That is what we mean by that is those of you that have been born again. You receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have been baptized, like Jesus said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, repeat after me, but the disciples knew that the name of the Father is Jesus, the name of the Son is Jesus, and the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. That is the name that Luke wrote in Acts 4:12 when he said, neither is there salvation in any other. The subject was the name of Jesus. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we know, you go back and search the scriptures, and the angel said, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So I'm proud to say that salvation is in the name of Jesus, and the preacher has to be to know that he has to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the name of the Lord, and the name of the Lord is Jesus. So you can say Jesus, we know he is the Christ, but salvation, washing away of your sins, the only way that is going to take place is in the name of Jesus. That's where the blood is applied. Like the song says, down at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart, burdens of my heart roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. So it is in the holy and precious name of Jesus that your sins are remitted. And one thing that the Lord always wanted the children of Israel to know, they were the ones who were given the oracles of God. They were the ones who the Lord were the chosen people of God, whether we like it or not. It's too bad. That's who God chose. And one thing that the Lord always wanted them to know, that is one God, and he is that one God. They wanted to have a king like everyone else in the world. He didn't want them to have a king, but he went on to let them have Saul of Cis. And the son of Cis, we know how he messed up. So then he gave them a man after his own heart, which is the man David. Then on through the lineage of the David, the Lord Jesus Christ came through that line. So we know that the Bible says, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back to reign. So he's going to tear down everybody's kingdom. He's going to reign, like the Apostle Paul says, until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That is 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. So we're going to find out. We're going to see. So all we got to do is get into the perfect law of liberty that James declares is none other than the word of the Lord. So he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So you can't go wrong saying what the Word of God is talking about. So you want to know what's going on today in this political world? Ain't no such thing as a Democrat and a Republican as far as when you stand before God. These folks claim that they love God and all of that. They're liars. Their money is their God. And Jesus said that you cannot serve God. No man can serve two masters. You hate one and cleave to the other. You hold to one and despise the other. And he went on to say that you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is money. And when this money, when this currency system is changed, where the American dollar is almost not worth that much anyway. We keep hearing all these emphases on gold, and I believe it was last week, a couple weeks ago, it was $1,700. I think gold now is at an all-time high, which is $1,800 an ounce and counting, the last that I heard. So we know our faith is much more precious, Peter says, than of gold that perish, though it be found with, tried with fire, that it might be found to praise, glory, and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He said, whom you love, having not seen, yet believe, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's in 1 Peter, the first chapter. So, the receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And he goes on to say, which salvation of prophets have searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So this is what's important. See, you got to have money to live, but you can't take nothing with you. And all of this greed, folks, I wish that was a problem that I had, that I don't want to have that kind of attitude. Oh, I don't want to pay more taxes. That'd be a good problem to have. You got the money. That's no excuse that you don't have it. So that's why when you read in the book of Revelation, God is not playing. This is his world. The earth is the Lord's, declares the writer in the 24th Psalm, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Cattle on a thousand hills, the silver and the gold is all his. He's going to destroy it. He's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We know so much as the Bible says, not money is the root of all evil. But 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. That is what the problem is. Folks have made money their God because of greed. We're in the thing and we're in the shape that we're in. Some people can't even hardly eat, while other folks are spending big money on cigars and all kinds of things and vaunting and carrying on and bragging. You know, they can do this and they can do that, and they've been taken care of for generations. So that's why the Bible lets us know that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's why the Bible lets us know that the wicked shall be turned into hell, Psalms 9 and 17, and all the nations that forget God. That previous scripture is Proverbs 14 and 34, that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So that is the way it's going to be. And so we might as well get on the Lord's side. Nobody in their right mind want to go to hell. But people are going to, that's a real place, and folks are going to go there. And it wasn't made for us, but it was made for the devil and his angels. But people are going there because of pride, because they want to do their own thing. Folks want to have folks lay up with people that are not married to. Men want to lay up with women they're not married to. Women want to lay up with men that they are not married to. And even the dirtiest of all, like God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, you cannot marry the same gender. It doesn't matter what kind of law, what state passes, but that's ill. They would have told you years ago that was illegal procedure. Now they're coming up with all these crazy terms, sexual orientation and all this foolishness. You either are, like they said, blue, it's a boy. Pink, it's a girl. Little boy, like little girl. You're supposed to desire the opposite sex, not two men. That stinks in the sight of God. Two men together, two women together, that stinks in the sight of God. So that's illegal. You can't marry the same gender, and you can't procreate. You're not going to have a baby. Two women by themselves or two men by themselves, it's against the law. It's not going to happen. Male and female. truth saith, he shall be one flesh. What makes the one flesh is the sex act. And God ordained marriage. That's why he brought Adam and Eve together. And he called her a woman because she came out of man. So might as well, either we're going to do it right, it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Folks are going to get cast into the lake of fire, the 20th chapter of Revelation. Nobody in their right mind want to go there. And the beast and false prophet are going to beat people in there, beat the devil in there. Whosoever's name was not written in the book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire. You're going to be tormented with fire and brimstone day and night, forever and ever. Which is, that's the second death, the lake of fire. Nobody in their right mind want to go there. So we are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. You can lay down and go to sleep and be in another country on the other side of the world and wake up and realize where you are, because that's the capacity that your mind has to explore. And like I said it before, folks worried about Mars and all of these other planets, and there's millions of galaxies and quasars and all out there, these planets and everything. God put life on the earth, and if you do what the Lord says to do, you will inherit all things. You'll be able to go to the moon, and you won't have to pay $1 million to go there, right? And have on no suit. You'll be able to just think of somewhere and be there. All we have to do is to be obedient unto God, and that is to be born again. And when you're born again, your spirit is born again. Like he said, the wind bloweth where it listeneth. Thou can hear the sound thereof, can't not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. He says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So when you're born again, you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is, you'll speak in another tongue or another language as the Spirit gives you to utter. So we know in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, God confounded them. They're going to build that tower of Babel, which is known as confusion, all the way to heaven. God confused their languages where they couldn't understand one another, and they couldn't do it. So God gives you his Spirit speaking in another tongue, which is not your native tongue. That's how you know that you have been born of the Spirit and have your sins washed away. When the preacher baptizes you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, your sins are remitted or blotted out. So confession of sins is not for a sinner. You don't get so-called, well, I got to get a pope to confess to. You don't confess to no pope. The confession is for people of God who have already been born again. But a sinner has got to be born again. A sinner has to have his sins remitted. That is, the only way they can be washed away is in the name of Jesus. That is water baptism. Like the eunuch in the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles was baptized by Philip the evangelist. The eunuch said to him, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Philip baptized the eunuch. They went down in the water. There's no sprinkling. You don't sprinkle a baby. That's foolishness. God didn't come up. God didn't do that. That stuff came out of, well, we know where, out of the Catholic Church, which was established after that so-called vision Constantine had, which is the lie out of hell. There is no such thing as a divine trinity. There is only one God. You believe there is one God, you do as well. James 2:19 says, the devils also believe and tremble. There is only one God. So that's why it's called, the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And like we always read in our intro, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In St. John, the first chapter, at the 14th verse, he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, the world knew him not. But the 14th verse, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, talking about Jesus. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John goes on to say when he's writing St. John, and he says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So that's what the preaching of the gospel is all about. So when you preach the gospel and in the local church, the pastor is the main teacher in the local church. So that's why he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus, like I said. And the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. He didn't say repeat after me, but baptize in the name, in the name. And so the name is Jesus. And so you read nowhere in the scriptures have you ever read or heard someone using, saying the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost when they baptize. But in the Acts of the Apostles, they baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. So thank God for his word. So today we're talking about Paul's apostleship authenticated. So this man was a real apostle, and that's one thing that some of these jellyback preachers nowadays, they're scared to talk about. All these folks are popping up calling themselves apostles. You need to read in the book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd chapter, when they talk about those that call themselves apostles who were tried by other apostles, and the Bible said that they have been found liars. The apostle is an eyewitness. Their job was they were an eyewitness. They walked with the Lord. The only one that didn't walk with the Lord and the last one was to see of the Lord was the Apostle Paul. He said, and last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due season. When you read in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. So that's one of the signs of an apostle. You had to be an eyewitness. And they died horrible deaths. And people claiming nowadays that they're apostles, I say to you, according to the scriptures, they are not apostles. The apostles, that office is done away with. Because their job was to be an eyewitness. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died a horrible death, all of them but of the Apostle John. They tried to boil him in oil, but God put him on in the isle that is called Patmos for the testimony of the Lord and to be a witness of the things that are to come. And so that's why he was able to write the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that revelation is not a book for some of these jelly-back people to tell people, oh, we don't get in there. Like they're scared of the beasts and the ten horns and all of this. Evil spirits. People act like they came out of hell. Some of the stuff that people are doing and killing folks and carrying on. That's a beast. We call a beast if somebody perform good in baseball or whatever. So there's terms that are used, and the Lord did not put the book of the Revelation in there for somebody to be scared of. Shame on whoever is scared of the book of Revelation, of the Revelation. And God gave such revelation to our first presiding bishop of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World in the person of Bishop Garfield Thomas Haywood. And revelation hasn't stopped. God is still revealing himself. So shame on a so-called pastor who's scared of the book of Revelation. Shame on you. He didn't put it there for us to be ashamed of. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so the Lord wouldn't tell us to do something that he knew we couldn't do when he told us to be perfect. The word perfect, and we're going to probably touch on that sometime, but the word be perfect, what he was making reference to when he talked about being perfect is maturity. So this is what the ministry is all about. In the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, when it says he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, there it is, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up, there it is, maturity, grow up in him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by the which every joint supplieth unto the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So that's what makes you ignorant. You're blind in your heart. But when we say, oh, I see, that's an understanding. When you see, you have an understanding. You don't see with your eyes, but you see with your brain. Your eyes are the camera. That's why somebody could be looking at someone. Oh, she was looking right at me. He was looking right at me. They wouldn't even speak. Yeah, if their mind was somewhere else, they didn't see you. So that's how that goes. So thank God for his word. And so on today, as we want to talk about Apostle Paul, his authentication, and he says, now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. So that's what some people think. No, man, it ain't no, like Muhammad Ali used to say, I'm the greatest. No, you ain't the greatest. Jesus is the greatest. But it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And the word is not in, the word is in power. The word of a king, where the word of a king is, there is power. So we're not vaunting. This ain't a flesh and blood. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, as in the book of Ephesians when he wrote that. But we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're doing battle with devils, with a little d, and the devil. But that's why John says, when he says about Antichrist, and 1 John the 3rd chapter is already coming to the world, and he's saying you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Previous scripture, that them that he's talking about is Antichrist. I'm standing against the devil and his imps, because I better know. Jesus said the thief cometh for nothing but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. St. John 10:10. And the thief that he was talking about ain't that thief that's breaking into your house or breaking into your car. The thief that Jesus was talking about is none other than that dirty devil himself. He come to steal, to kill, and destroy. Steal you, to destroy your soul is what he come to do. He's a liar. He's a father of lies. He got people thinking there's three gods. He got people thinking there's two gods. He know that there's only one God. What a liar. The devil himself. He's the enemy of righteousness. He's the enemy of your soul. He hates you, and he hates me too. And that's why I'm preaching against him, because I have power. I have been baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have had my sins washed away in the name of Jesus. And so he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, at 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So it's not flesh and blood. It's not our fist. It's not no boxing glove. Matter of fact, it's not even guns. That guns don't kill, but people do. And folks are so scared. They got a gun, and too many times a little child might get their hands on that gun. That what you fearing? He has said, you're a real child of God, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So the worst they could do, is a man can do to you as a child of God, the worst you could do to me is shut my voice up, is to kill me. But you haven't stopped me, because that means I've crossed over to the other side. You kill me, that means I've gone to sleep. I'm sleeping Jesus. I'm waiting to get up and to come back. Amen. When that trumpet sounds, amen. Like he says, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. That's talking about them who died in Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. God is so high and lifted up. Amen. He's ascended up far above all heavens. And I want to know, and that's my question, how far is far above? He's going to have to descend. He's so high and lifted up that he got to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He's everywhere. He's every place. His eyes behold the good and the evil. There's not every thought. Before it even get to our mind, he knows all about it. 139th Psalm. That's who I'm talking about. So he's coming back to get his people. Dead in Christ shall rise first. That is, those who have been born again, who have fallen asleep in Christ, those are the dead that he's talking about. And we which are alive and remain, Apostle Paul thought the Lord was soon to come, even during the time when he was living. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And I mean, you're talking about power. I'm not talking about it. I marvel at these jets taking off when I'm at the airport and I see jets flying over. And I mean, it's amazing how a vehicle, God has given knowledge for a man to get a vehicle that weighs tons to be able to get up in the air and fly. I'm not talking about that. And even the Concorde, the one that used to go 1,800 miles an hour, like they used to say, arrive before you left. I'm not talking about that kind of power. What I'm talking about is Holy Ghost power. This is what we're talking about. So they're mighty through God, our warfare, to the pulling down of strongholds. It takes the Holy Ghost to rebuke a devil. You can't fight a devil with a... You can't kill a devil. You can't kill a spirit. You can't kill, as we say, a demon, which is a devil, or the devil. You can't. The devil is an evil spirit, and the angels, fallen angels, are evil spirits. They don't have to have a key to come in. They're invisible. You can't see them. They are in the spirit world. That's why so much is going on. Like they said, about this woman who had got raped many years ago, someone had knew about on a cold basement floor. It was an old woman, about 90 years old, in her 90s, and she lived to identify the man who had committed this awful crime against her, and they asked the man a question: why did you do it? His answer was, I don't know. And the statement was made, if the devil gets your mind, he will possess you, and you will do what he says. So that's all it is the mind. It's a battle of the mind. He gets your mind, he'll possess you, you'll do what he says. So nobody, folks say hell yes or hell yeah. I used to tell those that I ministered to, which were mostly women in the prison system, out of the 20 years that I was in the prison system, about 18 years of it, I ministered unto women. Not too many times, and virtually the whole time was I ministered to female in the female prisons. We used to tell them, you should say no to hell, because hell was not made for you. Matthew 25 and 41, hell was made for the devil and his angels. So people be saying stuff. So that's why we try to let you know that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, they're not of the Father, but of the world. The world's going to pass away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So that's that pride. And that's what happened to Lucifer, who is the anointed cherub that covereth. You can read about him. The 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah and the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel talks about him. God threw him out. But the Bible also lets us know that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before falls. That's none other. That's a picture of Lucifer himself. That pride comes before destruction or goes before it. Then that haughty spirit, then that fall. So there's nothing here that should not be revealed. So God is yet to pull the cover off of some dirty leaders. So we haven't seen nothing yet. Let us keep living. Some of these leaders, they think they got away, but I got news for them. If these things be true with some of our leaders that we think are such wonderful leaders in the kingdom of God, You can't fool God. God's not coming down. He don't care what your name is. You're not dirty. If you're dirty, you're not holy. You're not living right. You're not keeping his commandments. You're not doing what he says. You're living a double life. You're a hypocrite. You're not going to make the rapture of the church. You will be right here. The shame of your nakedness will appear, as in the book of Revelation says. Everybody going to know. You're going to know what happened. Unless you really dull of hearing, you will know what happened. So God doesn't care how long, how many generations our family has been in the truth and knew about the Holy Ghost and knew about the baptism in Jesus' name. That matters not. If you're not doing, you got to do his commandments, that you're going to have a right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates of the city. So our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So this is what we have to do. Sure, we're doing things, and God has given knowledge. And he said, and this is one of the things in the book of Daniel talks about in the latter time, knowledge shall increase. So you think of some of these, you think of the Microsoft operating system, these Intel, Cisco systems, a lot of things we can think about, iOS, Apple computer and all their operating system, the Android operating system, all these things that are happening, instant messaging, that just really substantiates God's word. Because God can just command something and it stands fast. I mean, it's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the church is taken out of here. Instant message, you send one, it's instant, just like what it says. That's going to be in a moment. You can't even bat your eye. You can't even think of how fast a moment is. It's so fast. So that as we can see, this is a sign. And these other things lawlessness. You can't marry the same gender. Even animals don't do that. So we can see, and then these false Christs and false prophets, Jesus was the master. Like I said on last week, some of these folks made themselves apostles. Ain't no apostles nowadays. I don't care who you are. I don't care how many churches you got. And some folks are so important. I wonder, do they think that they're more important than Jesus is? So we're talking about this man here was a very learned man, the Apostle Paul, or Saint Paul, as we address him. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. So he humbled himself. He even said, and when we went through our first Corinthians, the first letter that he wrote, he says, I'm determined to know, not to know anything among you, talking about the church, but Jesus Christ himself being crucified. So what he was saying was, when I come to the church, I'm not boasting in what I know and my worldly knowledge. So you know what you know, that's good. But and so I come to bust every bubble of every so-called leader. Matters not who they are. I'm an ordained elder myself. It doesn't matter. That doesn't mean nothing if I'm not doing right. That's not the point. So there's no such thing as there are those big eyes and little U's. And so we all have been made to sit together in heavenly place. He's made us. So we all are in the us if we're in the church. Those that have been born again, just like Jesus commanded the apostles to go and preach in the name of Jesus. And that's why he said, he that believe this, you got to keep on believing. And is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So there's signs. So there's, I'm not worshiping no man. You're not going to go to heaven holding on to your pastor's ankle or holding on to your bishop or whoever you want to call him. You got to save yourself, as Peter said. Sure, you got to be in a local church, but no one is more important than the other. Everybody has their proper place, and you're not so above someone else that you can just do what you want and cover it up. God don't play. He's not playing. He made provisions for folks. If you fall, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So all unrighteousness is sin. So you got to do right. Ain't no having a sweetheart on the side, be it a man or a woman. There's no such thing. God don't play. He's not coming down to nobody's level. He's still God. He's a mighty God. He doesn't play. So Apostle Paul received his instructions from the Lord, and the Lord revealed himself to him. So this is why he could write like he did, and you want to see really how what he did and how he did it and things that he really said to the church of God. And that is in the book of Corinthians. And I know the book of Corinthians, but to the church at Galatia, things that he was writing when he was in Galatia. And he was saying, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. See, so that's what people say. There's no such thing as a gay. We used to watch the Flintstones. They say they were going to have a yabba-dabba-doo time. They were going to have a gay old time. You look at the dictionary definition of gay is to be happy. That is not, they're trying to fix it up where it don't sound so bad. But a homosexual or a lesbian or a down low, whatever you want to call it, is not a gay. But you are perverted. That's what he's talking about. So you're not a gay. If you're a homosexual, you're a pervert. But he came, you're a sinner like anybody else. He came into world to save sinners. There's hope. You don't have to be a homosexual to go to hell. We all were born and shaped in iniquity and in sin that our mother conceived us. So that's why we have to be born again. It doesn't matter. Some folks stop doing, they change, but they haven't been converted. You could repent and not be converted, but you got to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin and the promise you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But what he is saying here about the gospel, though there we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. So, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So he says, do I now persuade men or God? Question. Or do I seek to please men? A question. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So you don't want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And people have perverted justice and judgment. And, I mean, that's not our place as human beings. Not even to stand in front of an abortion clinic. I'm not going to stand in front. I don't have to give an account for what they do. Those people got to give an account for what they do. So he's talking about the gospel. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. This is what Apostle Paul said. I neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we are endeavoring to do now. It's not words that a man, even me, are saying, but we are just instruments saying what thus saith the Lord. And so that's what's important, is what you got to do. So Apostle Paul, he wasn't begging for money. And nowadays, these lying preachers, and I just like to rip them apart every time I get a chance. You cannot buy a blessing. You don't send in $130 to some lying devil on the television telling you, and using Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, which is Israel. That is not the Gentiles that try to, or a $1,000 blessing, all these folks on television lying to you. You can't buy a blessing. That is a lie out of hell. God's way is the tithe, 10%, and a free will offering. Anything, your offering is what you purpose in your heart to give. These greedy people are begging. And some of them don't even want you to use an envelope at certain times of the week. to write down your tax deductible gift, which is a 501c3 organization. Everything that you give, you can write it off on your income taxes. Some of them don't want you to know that. So thank God for the truth is going to make you free. So you got to know that, and you can't be scared to say what the word says and to stand up to nobody, because you got a soul to save. So that's why he was talking about many going to enter in at the Broadway and going to be that's the road to destruction in the 7th chapter of Matthew. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few be there to enter in thereat. So that's the straight and narrow way. So it's going to be just a small amount. We know God's going to have a great number, a number that no man can number. But compared to the number of folks that are going to be lost, his number is small compared to the people that's doing their own thing, saying whatever comes to their mind, whatever comes to their mouth, doing whatever they want. Nobody tell them what to do, but nobody going to get out of here alive. We're all going to have to stand before God. So this man had a love for God. And so when he says here, you have heard of my conversation in time past and the Jews' religion, how that I persecute by that beyond measure. I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, profiting the Jews' religion above my equals and my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal the Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. That's talking about Jesus, his Son. I conferred not with flesh and blood. Just what I just said. This is not flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. Notice that. He's talking about those that were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia, returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. So afterwards I came into the regions of Sisera and Cilicia and was unknown by the face of the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. So we know here, just like he's saying, he went on in the second chapter of Galatians, and 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, took Titus with me, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So he's talking about that because a false brother and unawares bought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue in me. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, and make it no matter to me, God accepted no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. And so we see what he's saying here. But he that wrought effectually in Peter through the apostleship, talking about the Lord, of the circumcision, that's the Jews, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles, that's the uncircumcision. When James, Cephas, and John, or that's Peter, James, Cephas is Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that they should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision, that we should go unto the heathen. That's the the circumcision was the Jews, and the heathen was the Gentiles. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But folks are not doing that nowadays. They don't care nothing about the poor, these so-called Republicans, as they call themselves. Before that certain came from James, they'd eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come in, he withdrew and separated himself, talking about Peter, fearing them, which were of the circumcision, the Jews, and other Jews assembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, But thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, that means they were born that way, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. So here is the key. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is what's so important when you're born again, and you're not doing it yourself. So this man had got great revelation, and he came up, and Scripture would support Scripture. When he came up and abode with Peter and James and John, when he got together with them after that time, the 3 years when he went up and talked with Peter, then 14 years later when he went up to Jerusalem and he took Barnabas with him, and the things that he'd done, and they all were saying the same thing. Now, Peter was saved before Paul was, but he had to get Peter straight. So one thing that we all have to see is, that the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. Like I said, the schoolmaster is the law of Moses. Okay, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So that's why I made emphasis, and it's very important that you repent, like Peter preached the message on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He went on to let them know, the promise is unto you Jews and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So very important. So after you have been born again, just like he says, many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So here is the key. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So when you're born again in the church of the living God, you're all one in Christ. We're in the body of Christ, and so there's no big I's or little U's. And Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. You can read that in the book of Ephesians, the next book. So that is what's so important. So this man gave himself. You follow after him. You read about him all through the book, the Acts of the Apostles. You can see how he sacrificed his life. And we know that history lets us know that Apostle Paul died. He was beheaded. Nero, on Nero's chopping block. He'd given his life. So this man made sure that he gave revelation. This man made sure that he didn't promote himself, that he promoted Christ. So we're going to see that even here as these last few chapters that we have here. We have the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th chapter of the Acts of the 2 Corinthians. So I know I wasn't able to really just try to hurry up and go through here. But what our weapons do, they cast down imaginations, every high thought, thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You want to know how mighty God is and some of the symbols that he gave about the eagle? You read in the book of Isaiah. You see how mighty he was. And that's the same God that we're talking about when he says, ye are my witnesses, my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know that I, even I, am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. I'm God, and there's none else. I am God, and there's none like me. He's the same one. And so anyway, having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I boast somewhat more of the authority which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. So this man was a mighty man of God. We know that our time is about God, that I may seem as if I would terrify you by letters. His letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, that they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. We stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we should be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And that is, you can find that in the book of Jeremiah the prophet. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. So you can't commend yourself. So these folks are boast and brag of themselves. There you have the whole finishing of the book of 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. So that's so important, he said. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So that's what you ought to do. Folks are bragging on stuff. And I mean, as though they've done something themselves. There's some great one, and this is what Simon the sorcerer did. And he said, give me money. Whoever I lay my hands on may receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's why Peter went on to let Simon the sorcerer know your money is perishing with you, because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. He said, you're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. So we never see where Simon the sorcerer got saved. So Apostle Paul didn't boast. His boasting that he did is in Christ, and he was boasting of things that he said, and he says of himself, he says, though I be nothing. So that's why he said that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Then he goes on to say, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. You can see, even as he wrote to his son Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, when he said, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when we study, when we get into scriptures, we're not trying to impress people, because we can quote a scripture, or we can try to give understanding out of the word of the Lord. But that's because of the time that we put in, that he'll bring things to our remembrance. We're not trying to do that to boast of no one else. So we thank God for that we are able to come to you today with his word. So what a blessing. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.